Father, we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for yet another time gather at your feet. We magnify you and we glorify you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for this evening. Thank you because there will not be a scarcity of your word, but indeed we will take advantage, we will mix what we hear with faith and take good use of it in Jesus' name. We magnify you, Lord. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You're welcome to School of Miracles. And that's to tell you that today is the first Thursday of the month. Hallelujah. And this is the second month of the year 2025. Hallelujah. And God is set to do us good. Amen. And usually, when we come for School of Miracles, we talk about the fact that you bring people, and miracles come in different ways. Hallelujah. The miracles are different. They come in different ways. Things happen. Amen. It's not always tied to sickness, but it ties to the fact that God always shows up. Amen. There is a difference. Hallelujah. Between the children of the owner of the house, hallelujah, and visitors. Okay? So usually in houses, okay, there are rooms that usually the master bedroom is not accessible to everybody. Okay? So there are some rooms that are not accessible to everybody. Everybody can come to the sitting room. Everybody can come in through the main door. Hallelujah. But everybody doesn't have access to all the rooms in the house except people that have been set aside or set apart. Amen. And the same way as the way God has set us aside and apart. In Mark, Mark chapter 16. Mark 16 and in verse 17. It says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. But if you go to verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized and will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow them who believe. Hallelujah. So it says he who believes will be baptized and will be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you look at this, you should ask yourself, he who believes, what is he saved from? Okay? He will believe, what is he saved for? So there's salvation for the one that believes. Hallelujah. It says, and these signs will follow them that believe. So the signs that follow them that believe is like a stamp or like an agreement from God that this guy believes, and so this just follow you. So it's just like ordinarily when you join any company of your choice when you join. Okay? Before, if you have been going there as an applicant before, you just go, you take your application there, you stop at the reception. But once you join, okay, the very day you join, you can go to anywhere, you can do anything, and nobody is going to query you. Ordinarily, if you enter the place and you wanted to probably use anything, somebody is going to come and say, why are you doing that? But it says automatically, once you do that, I mean, there was a day I was at the program, and the person that was sitting next to me, I recognized the person that is from my office. So when I greeted the person and I was speaking to the person, and the person was wondering, why is this guy talking to me in such a familiar way? You know, and I started smiling. And I said something that only if you are a member of that office, you will be able to relate to it. Immediately I said it, They looked at me and said, Do you? And I said, of course. So there are certain things that is expected, okay, when you belong. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, those that have been saved, it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And it's important because when signs follow them that believe, yeah, there's no gymnastics to it and there's no drama to it because it's something that just goes. Hallelujah. So if you spend your money buying a very expensive perfume and you use it, okay, the fragrance goes with you everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Once you use it, that fragrance goes with you. So that's what these signs shall follow them that believe. That's what it means. Okay? And he talked about the signs. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. He says, if they drink anything deadly, hallelujah, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Meaning that for them that believe, okay, for them that believe, finding sickness in their midst will be something of an anomaly. Amen. It says if they take anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them, okay? So that means that will not have an effect on whoever is saved. Okay? And then he says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. Amen. So meaning that for a believer, because they will lay hands on the sick. Yeah. So if a believer is in a place or in an environment, okay, he has certain responsibilities or certain things that will activate the power of God that he carries. Amen. Because these signs will follow them. It says they will lay hands on the sick. So if a believer is not going about and lay hands on the sick, it is difficult for you to see the sick recover. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if his believer is not laying his hands, hallelujah, it doesn't mean that he's not a believer and doesn't mean that he doesn't have the capacity to deliver. Amen. He's just not doing what is expected of him to be able to deliver the power that God has given to him. Hallelujah. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. So if you see all these things that he lists from verse 1, okay, it says, preach good tidings to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and everything. He says, all these things are to be done or will be done, okay, so that the Lord may, you go to verse 3, so that it says, we call the planting of the Lord, that the Lord may be glorified. Hallelujah. That the Lord may be glorified. Now, when he says that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, they talked about that these signs are followed. He talks about the fact that they will hear the gospel and then they will be saved. Okay? Now, what you are being delivered from is the things that was listed in Isaiah chapter 61. Hallelujah. From verse 1 to 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And we all know that was written about Christ. Okay? Hallelujah. And if you go to read, I think it's Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I think that should be verse 11. Yeah. It says verse 11. Titus 2 verse 11. It says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. The grace of God that brings salvation. So we're still going back to this case of someone being saved. The first one in Matthew 16:15-17 talked about the fact that when the gospel is preached, those who believe will be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible in Titus 2:11 says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. And if you look at the word salvation, it says the salvation is the act of being saved or protected from harm or the state of being saved. It can also be that you are saved from sin and its consequences. Hallelujah. That you are saved from sin and its consequences. Okay? That's salvation. And if you look at salvation from another perspective, it says that salvation is being saved from the penalty of separation from God. Hallelujah. For penalty of separation from God. Okay? So, in the light of that definition, then Titus 2:11 begins to make sense. Because what happened in the Garden of Eden was that the original intention of God was thwarted by Adam and the woman. Okay? And then they became Adam and Eve. That's the sequence. So, if you look at the Bible, it was Adam and the woman first, and then they became Adam and Eve. Okay? So, the original plan of God was for him to come and have fellowship. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Okay? So his original intention was to have man, a being, okay, that is in his image and likeness, will do the things, is able to do the things that he will do. And he put Adam in the garden so that he would tend the garden, okay, and keep the garden. And that was what he was doing when God looked at him and said, this wildlife is too much for this guy. Let me find him, a helpmate, okay, so that he'll be able to carry out the task and the responsibilities that has been given to him by God. And then disobedience came, okay? And from that point onward, God had been set in motion a plan, okay, to bring back man to his original design. So initially, man did not need any intermediary for him to have the presence of God, hallelujah, or for him to be able to relate with God. It was a simple thing. God will come and God will start his relationship with man. Hallelujah. So he didn't have to go through any rhetorics or any kind of ritual to be able to get God's attention. Okay? So originally, he was supposed to have free access to God. Okay? So we said that salvation is being saved from the penalty of separation from God. Okay? So, if you look at everything that God spoke to Adam and Eve when he was sending them out of the garden, okay, it was a total departure from the abundance into which he created Adam. Don't forget, everything was made ready. And then he created man on the sixth day, Abby, and then he rested on the seventh day. So Adam will open his eyes and everything that he will need was there. Hallelujah. Amen. So no waste was recorded. All he needed to do was to go to a tree and then he would get a fruit. Okay? He needed water, he would just go and then he would take water. Anything that he needed was made available. And then when that separation came, that's when the story of lack began to come in. Okay? That's when the story of diseases began to come in. Hallelujah. Because those things were not there from the beginning. So salvation is about the fact that you have been saved from the penalty of separation from God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Mark chapter 16 and from verse 15. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature, know that. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Hallelujah. That's what he's saving us from. From that separation from God. Hallelujah. And if you know what he's saving us from was what he experienced when he went to the cross. So when he was on the cross and he was going to give up, he was going to lay down his life. Okay, the Bible records that he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Amen. And everybody makes it, turns into a fad or like a fashion thing when they think that we are passing through a difficult period. Say, God has forsaken me. Hallelujah. At that point, that's the only time that there was that separation between Christ and God. Amen. Because he was carrying the sins of the world. And at that point, God does not, he cannot behold sin. Hallelujah. He had to turn his back on him. And that's why he had to say, my Lord, art thou forsaking me? Amen. That separation of the Son, okay, was what got you united to the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. So, because you were separated from the Father, okay, he took separation of his own Son to restore you and I to our original position. Okay? It's often said that whatever gives birth to a thing is what is going to sustain it. Hallelujah. So, if we're giving birth to by the Word, okay, the Word will sustain us. Hallelujah. And if you will correct, you know, this is just funny. So, if you are going to correct anything, whatever you are trying to correct is what you use to correct what you want to correct. Hallelujah. So it takes separation in this manner to resolve the separation of man and God. Separation of God and his Son to restore separation of man and God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it takes you understanding and listening. It takes man and every creature listening and believing the gospel, which is the good news. Amen. Because if you don't believe it, you cannot have it. Hallelujah. Let me show you a story in the Bible. Luke chapter 13. From verse 10. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there's a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. Hallelujah. So he was teaching. Okay? If you look at it, Christ had been teaching ever since he was a boy. Okay? That was why, that was when they went into Jerusalem, and then his parents were looking for him, and they had called him back to their home before they realized that, where is this boy? And then they went back. And then they found him in the synagogue. So he had been teaching. And then you begin to wonder, what was he teaching them? He was explaining the scriptures to them. Hallelujah. It was just because, if your eyes of understanding will be enlightened, it has to be that there will be an entrance of the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And as simple as the word of God is, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to break it down for us. Amen. So, he looked around and he saw that totally everything that whatever they were teaching them in the synagogues was not it was not aligning exactly with what God has in mind. And then he began to teach. Amen. He began to teach. Hallelujah. So he would tell them and said, this day this thing is fulfilled before you. Okay? Because the people were just not, they were just lost. And then yet they were still expecting the Messiah to come. Amen. Meanwhile, lo and behold, the Messiah was in their midst. But he had to teach them. And don't forget Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Said he told them, go and preach, okay? And then those who believe, they'll be saved. Because without a teaching, you cannot bring knowledge to the people. Amen. So if you are not teaching them, there's nothing to show them the way, then there's nothing for them to believe, okay? And if there's nothing to believe, they cannot be saved. But then he said to them in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Amen. It's the gospel that needs to be preached to every creature so that there will be salvation. It's the good news. Hallelujah. Amen. That he had come, he had died, and he has risen. And then this was the commission. If you look at your Bible, it says, it's a great commission. Go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Without the gospel, there will not be salvation. Hallelujah. There will not be
People will not be saved from the penalty of separation from God. Hallelujah. So, I mean, that separation is taken care of by his death and his resurrection on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And then let's go back to this story. So it says there that, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." Amen. He says, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she made straight and glorified God. If you go back to Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, the last sentence of verse 3, talks about the fact that they will be called oaks of the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And then if you look at verse 1, verse 2, it says, "I've come to set the captives free." Hallelujah. "I've come to set the captives free." Now, Luke chapter 13, and verse 12 says, "But when Jesus saw her, he called out to him and said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.'" Amen. What was he doing? He was setting her free. Captives are set free. Amen. And he said what? Immediately she was made straight and did what? And glorified God. Hallelujah. So all the essence of you, that separation, the penalty of being, of saving man from that penalty, okay, is so that at the end of the day, God is glorified. Amen. God is glorified. Now, it should not, when people take away God from the center of what they are doing, okay, and it's all about them and whatever they are saying, there is a problem. Hallelujah. Even the Son of God, okay, will do anything and will tell you, "Don't tell the people that I have done this." Amen. Don't say that this has happened. Okay? Because he understands, and we also have to understand, that everything that is being done through us or is done for us is so that God can be glorified. And that's the only thing he hears with no man. Amen. Bible has said in John chapter 3:16, "He so loved the world, and then he gave his Son." Hallelujah. But you ascribing glory to him, he does not take it for light. He doesn't take it lightly. And that's why the sons of Eli were punished, because they made people despise the offering of God. Okay? And so they were speaking negative things to God because of those children. Okay? So God takes this particular thing, returning to glory to him, very serious. And you have to also understand that. Hallelujah. Now, it says here that in verse 4, it says, "And then she glorified God. Then the rulers of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the crowd, 'There are 6 days on which men ought to walk. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on Sabbath day.' The Lord then answered him, saying, and said, 'Hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath lose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?'" Hallelujah. That's what the hypocrites do. They leave the weightier matters, okay, and then take the major on the minor things. Hallelujah. But Christ is saying that this bond, this woman that is bound, what is critical is that she's set free. Amen. She's set free. And then the glory returns to God. Hallelujah. So in essence, salvation is possible because the gospel happened. Hallelujah. Salvation is possible because the gospel happened. And that's why he said that you preach the gospel. And the gospel is indeed, and salvation is indeed that, is made possible through the death, resurrection of course, and the ascension of Christ. Hallelujah. You and I are living in this realm and in this dispensation because he ascended into heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, it's your own advantage that I go. Hallelujah. And then, if I go, he said, I will send the Holy Spirit. Paracletos, the helper. Okay? And it's to your own advantage. Hallelujah. You know, you know that in the story of Lazarus, I think that's John chapter 11. John chapter 11. When Christ was speaking to his disciples, he was talking to them. They told him that in verse 3, it says, therefore, his sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and all that. And then the Bible says that, in verse 9, then Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Hallelujah. He says, let me read again. Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Hallelujah. Amen. He said the first 12 hours, because it's light, okay, it's day, it's normal for you to see. I said, but when it's dark, okay, it is beyond the natural. Hallelujah. And as I said, look, go back to verse 10. It says, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Then you begin to wonder. In the first part, he said, it's because it's day that you see. Okay? Now, in the night, what directs your step in the night is different from what works for you in the day. He says, but if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Ordinarily, his light on the inside or on the outside. During the day, he did not talk about the fact that light was in him during the day. That's why he was saying, please go back to verse 9. He says, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. Hallelujah. And then in the night, he says, he does stumble because light is not in him. Hallelujah. And then he says something, a statement that is very, very confusing. Was confusing to the disciples. He said in verse 12, I think, or verse 11. After he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Hallelujah. I go that I may wake him up. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Amen. Now, Christ knew that Lazarus had given up the spirit. Hallelujah. But the things that he expects you and I to do in situations where we think are difficult was the same thing that he did. He did not say Lazarus was dead. He said what it was going to look like when he gets there. He said, our friend Lazarus is asleep. Let us go and wake him up. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes if you are sleeping and I want to wake you, I can call your name. I can call and say, Toby, and just wakes up. Hallelujah. That's the picture that was in his mind. I'm going to get there, and then we are going to wake him up. Hallelujah. Then he found out that his disciples were not in tune. They were not in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. They were in the dark. And he says, if the light is not in you, you will stumble. The next verse says, then the disciple says, if he sleeps, he will get well. Hallelujah. And then, let's continue. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Okay? Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Hallelujah. But he had declared what he was going to do. Hallelujah. He says, if you will say to this mountain, if you will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast, you will have what you say. Hallelujah. So that these people will have an understanding. Go to the next verse. It says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Amen. So that they will have an understanding of what was happening. That's why just come and told them, look, this is what has happened. He's dead. But what are we going to do? He's asleep. We are going to wake him up. Hallelujah. What you don't find him doing, you are not supposed to do. Hallelujah. Okay? What you don't see Christ do, you are not supposed to do. Amen. So if you see him say to Lazarus, come forth. The Bible said that he was, when he was going, he was groaning. And when he got there, he told them to, what did he tell them? Remove the stone. And they didn't go in. Hallelujah. He called into being Lazarus. Hallelujah. Amen. He called into being Lazarus. These demonstrations were for their disciples to have something. Hallelujah. So we are reading Romans 15 verse 4. That whatever things they were written before, were written for our learning. Okay? So that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. He knew that he would leave the disciples behind. Okay? They needed something like you, that you and I, like what you and I have now, to have a reference point to. Okay? So the things he was doing before them were the things that he was expecting that anytime they remember, okay, they will know, they will have patience and comfort that he's alive. Hallelujah. So when he got there and he said, Lazarus, come forth, all of them were with him. And he had already told them before going, without anybody even telling them that, look, this guy is dead. But the first thing he told them is that we are going to wake him up. He's asleep. We are going to wake him up. Hallelujah. And when he was talking to them in Mark chapter 16, that was when he was going to ascend, right? I said, look, just make sure you preach the gospel. Hallelujah. And for everyone that is suffering a penalty because of the separation from God, the gospel, and in believing the gospel, brings salvation to him. Hallelujah. It can be sickness, any form of depression. It cannot detach those things from the gospel. Amen. You know, oftentimes when we think of miracles, all around us is about a limb growing, is about sickness being healed. Hallelujah. Amen. But miracles are different and they come in different dimensions. Amen. You know, peace of mind is a miracle. I mean, in this present day and time, that you wake up, you look, you know how you look left and right in your heart? You know how to look left and right in your heart when you wake up? You scan everything. So who is supposed to call me in case, you know, you just look like nobody's going to call me. It's a real gift to have the peace of God on your side. Hallelujah. Amen. And the peace of God is not the absence of trouble. Amen. Because you have peace does not mean that there is no chaos somewhere. Hallelujah. You have that peace because you understand that greater is he that is on the inside of you than he that is in the world. Amen. So stepping into situations will not be a problem for you because you are being propelled by the Spirit of God. And that's why he said, it is to advantage that I go. That when I go, the Holy Spirit he will teach you all truth. And then he will guide you into all truth. Hallelujah. He teach you all things. And then he will guide you into all truth. Amen. You know some people that if there is no trouble, it's like money is coming. Why is he, Abby? Money is coming. Amen. So, what was I saying? Some people do what? I didn't hear what you say. Sir? I was saying that because you have peace does not mean that there is absence of chaos or trouble. Hallelujah. But in the midst of it, what you are relying on is far greater than the chaos and the trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. So, sometimes when my phone is ringing, I don't look at this space and say, this is trouble. Let me just speak. And then the person goes on. So, okay, God, don't show me what you do. Boom. And then I leave it. Hallelujah. But this is when the phone rings, I just smile. It's a miracle. I'm saying miracle doesn't have to be that you are sick. Amen. Hallelujah. It's living above the normal. Okay, so if this is the normal thing in any environment, then you live above the normal thing. I was saying, was it on Sunday? I was talking to you about ground state in chemistry. So, chemical elements, they have what you call ground state, and then the one you call excited state. That excited state is this. So the ground state is just normal state like this, normal things happening. And then when they're excited, there's energy, and then they're moving and they're excited. Okay, when miracles happen, we are out of that ground state. Hallelujah. But it's the most natural thing for you and I to walk in that realm of miracles. Amen. Because we are dealing with the heavenly host. Hallelujah. And so there cannot be, the only ground state that they know is that they make things happen. Amen. They make things happen. And the things don't happen unless men act. Hallelujah. It takes somebody somewhere to cause things to happen. It takes somebody somewhere to cause these things to happen. You see, everything we see in the physical, we're first bathed in the spiritual. So if you say, things are just working for me. No. Things are not just working for you. Somebody somewhere is activating those things on your behalf. Hallelujah. You know, when I was growing up, I used to come in and out of different kind of accidents. Not a motor, can be in the house or anything. But, and I just this one, God's out saved me. But one day, I discovered that every night, my mother is always praying. Every night. She'll sit down, she'll pray till like 2 a.m. And then, the day she decides that, okay, let me just call these children, let them join the prayer. We tell her that, you want to sleep. Maybe it's you that the one that collected this work. You'll be praying. You want to sleep. And then we are walking around and saying, I did this. This is happening. No. Things don't just happen. It's just like you saying something is free. Eh? If I give you a pair of shoes now, to you it is free. To me it's not. Hallelujah. I just got something. And it's just free. No. Somebody. So even the life that we live is not free. Amen. It cost God his son. Hallelujah. And because it cost him his son, it is just natural for us to walk in that realm. That look, we are back with God. And things should not be normal, in quote again. Hallelujah. If you do ordinary things in the presence of God, then there's a problem. So when he was talking to them in Mark 16, he says, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So if you choose not to lay hands on the sick, that's it. Amen. If it's this area that lays hands on the sick will recover. See, when we were in Surpassing Grace Fellowship, before we became Surpassing Grace Assembly. So you know that Surpassing Grace Assembly will be 25 years in July. Have you? So Surpassing Grace Fellowship was before Surpassing Grace Assembly. Okay, so where we were just a fellowship. Certain man had nieces and nephews. They were like Rex. How old is Rex? No, Rex cannot be two. This is Mr. Sajiri. They were like 6, 5, 4. That was their age. And so the children will come to fellowship like this, just like this, when we gather. And we didn't used to gather every day of the week. We just gather Sunday evening. Everybody in the neighborhood, we just gather. And then the children will come. And they will listen and listen and listen. Okay? They will hear us read. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You do this one. And they were taking it in. So one day, they were home alone with their nanny. And the nanny refused to get up from the bed that morning. She was not feeling fine. And then the children got to the room and found out that this auntie is not feeling fine. She said, yeah, she's not feeling fine. So this is called set my Uncle Reverend. So Uncle Reverend used to say that if you lay on the sick, they will recover. And the three children laid hands on the sick nanny and prayed for her. And she got up. Amen. If you see them now, they are as old as Kenny now. They are old now. That time they were like this. I can't even recognize them, but they were like this. And it was so, so fantastic a testimony. Why? Because it only takes you to believe. And that's why Christ was saying to them, he said, it's easy for the children to enter the kingdom of God. They will see it. Why would they see it? It's not that they will go there physically. Because their hearts are open. And everything they receive it with thanksgiving and with faith. So if you tell a child a wrong thing, he's going to develop skill in that wrong thing, so much so that you'll be amazed. Because he will believe you hook, line, and sinker. Amen. Same thing with the word of God. And so these three, and they learned, and she got up. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not an exclusive of age or how long you have been with Christ. It's an exclusive of you hearing the gospel, believing it, and being saved. When you are saved, you are restored. You have removed that separation from God, and then you are walking in the realm of the supernatural. Walking in the realm of the supernatural does not mean that you do gymnastics, you now wear a cassock, you wear a cap, you tie rope, and then you carry cross on this side. That's not the realm of the supernatural. Amen. When Christ was, when in the story we read in Luke, he only took compassion. He only took for Christ to recognize that, look, this is bondage. Hallelujah. Set her free. If you walk in the realm of the supernatural, you need to recognize what you carry. Hallelujah. And then act upon that which you carry. If you don't act, there cannot be any result. See, God's responsibility on earth assists since he went to rest. Go and look at it. In Genesis chapter 1, go and look at it. He spoke to the earth, bring forth after your kind. He spoke to this, what do you call it? The sea and the fish, bring forth after your kind. When he got to man, he says what? Be fruitful, multiply, and then have dominion. Amen. If you refuse it, then you won't see it. But does that mean you cannot have dominion? It doesn't mean. It's just like when we go to the filling station nowadays. You know, before, we used to be very reckless. When you go to the filling station nowadays, you carry 25 liter keg, you buy 10,000 naira. That's about 10 liters, Abi. You carry your keg. But does that mean that that's the capacity of the keg? But the capacity, whatever the content of that keg is not its capacity. The capacity is what you have decided. The content is what you have decided to carry in that capacity that he has. Amen. So the natural thing for us is to be able to call things into being, because that very nature of God that we had from the beginning, we have been restored by virtue of our belief in the Son. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you not seen that those people that go to which doctor? What do? Everything they say, they're in what? In words. Even the courses you are running away from, are they not words? So why do you believe that those courses are very strong and powerful? That, yeah, I think I saw somebody was saying somebody's cursing or something in the middle of the week. Why do you believe that those courses will come to pass? They're words. Abi? But they're negative words. Huh? The same way that you think those negative words have that kind of potency, is the same way your own positive words, because you understand you are with God, your own words will bring things to pass. Hallelujah. They are just principles of God. I told you on Sunday, seed time and harvest. They are just principles of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. You don't need to be a Christian to give and it will be given to you. Hallelujah. Amen. It takes you understanding that this is the God's principle. If I throw anything at him, I believe he will get there. Because it's a principle. If you believe, if you are saved and you believe, these signs will follow you. Hallelujah. Amen. They will follow you. The signs will follow you. What if you will use what is following you is another ball game entirely. Amen. Hallelujah. It's another ball game entirely. So no matter the situation, no matter the condition, everything obeys, everything that was created was created to obey God's word. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Hallelujah. Amen. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Let's rise to our feet. It takes faith in the Son of God. It's the faith in the Son of God to believe the gospel. And once you believe the gospel, salvation is certain. What is it that a miracle is required for? When miracles happen, God is glorified. When things happen, God is glorified. I mean, if it's whether someone is healed or anything, whatever you want to stand in the gap in for tonight, whether it's on your behalf, hallelujah, know fully well that it has been deposited on your inside, that it is your right. Okay? Your right to have miracles around you. So these signs shall follow them that believe. It is your right. Hallelujah. And if you're not aware of it, you're not able to use it. Hallelujah. If you don't know it, you cannot take advantage of it. And that's what you are going to take advantage of this night. You just talk to God. This is your I got to give him all the praise and glory. I begin to call forth every situation and speak forth to them. Christ told them, Lazarus, our friend, is asleep. We are going to wake him up. Hallelujah. We are going to call him forth. We are going to call those things forth that are dead. Hallelujah. We are going to call them to life. Because the life-giving spirit of God is on the inside of you.
Eka plato bratum bladiskata boskatalia. Inkrato pradiskanta lida bradiska. Erebrosko katin de planda se katanda lia la brosalia. Ekaska sebroto bradiskanta lida. Erebroskanta liga bradiska to bradosko to boskatanda lia. Eka plato ba kinga diskatalia. Eka prosko prodoskanta lina baskatalia. Eka paso produskata ligre palim bradoskata lida bradiska. Ekra doposka dingra de boska sa bradiska tabaseteria. Eka nambasete bruska proka basataria. Eka pratopre le kamba basete liga. Eka paseke kepum pakanda la baseka ya. Eka plotombo ka ligre le braska taboseteria. Eka kambo saka lingra da basaka ya. Eka boska tablasataria. Because our sons, because we have been adopted. Hallelujah. He has called us from darkness into his marvelous light. That's why we are called the sons of God. And so we have the confidence to come into the place where he is. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. E katobra diska da da basataria ma dopro do banga de sete liga e ka de blondo soto liga le kan klato sekeria e ka proto kot katalina de boka des kataria e ka de sete liga po praling la tos ketelinga basaria e ka tomba de sanka ka diska tabos katalia e ka dos kete bom bradis kataling da da basia e ka bla tom bradis kete bos katalia e ka dans ka kom da da basakaria. All eyes closed. Mangra dance katabe katasataria. E kratopruska talinga. E kans katoba diska krabasa talia. E kabuza disadia. There's no strife. Mangla boska talia. No strife. Hallelujah. The thing, the promotion comes not from the north, from the east, but from God. Hallelujah. So I don't know who that is for, but there's no strife. Hallelujah. E kans katasataria. That which comes from God is certain, and it's for them that has been sanctified and separated for his purpose. Hallelujah. There's no need to strive with anyone. Hallelujah. It's for you. Just receive it. Hallelujah. What that which you want. Hallelujah. Because you are a son. Hallelujah. Because you are a daughter. He said, I have come to exchange ashes for beauty. Hallelujah. To set the captives free. Hallelujah. So that you may be called oaks of righteousness. Hallelujah. There's that separation. Hallelujah. Because you are gods. Hallelujah. Things that happen to men ordinarily, it's not meant to happen to you. Hallelujah. You are distinguished. Hallelujah. Samblosko pradiska da basetia. Eka blatombla la baska tabukaria. Eka blotomba satalina da basadea. Segland e kamblosko taliga. Ekla dobra de bansa pomba liga. Ekla baseka disadea. Open the floodgate in abundance and cause your rain to fall on me. Open the floodgate in abundance and cause your rain to fall on me.
floodgates are indeed open. And there's a difference. It's all over you. Mangla tis kataria. All round about you. Lingla da basakaya. Ekam blato brata kanda sataria. Ekam basaka lingla tesaria. Manka puma katende libans kataria. Ekranda sataria. Your bands will be full. That's what the Lord is saying. Your bands will be full. Hallelujah. Eka banka pasca taliga. Eka plaso pradiska taliga. Eka plato pasca taliga. There's a floodgate open above everyone. Eka banda blus kataliga. Eka na masa tabosalea. Eka baso pradiska. God's favor. Mangra basalea. Favor before God and before men. Eka basca talinga da bos kataliga. Eka la basalea. Say you live the rest of your days in plenty. Lord, we give you praise. Let's worship him. We pray, man, kabasa kariya. Idebuska pradisa la basa da proskadeya. Eka blato pra kaboska kabali pradisa dalia. Eka skata brisa da banli blaskadeya. Eka basenka idebusa kalina pradisa.